that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a maker, he forms my heart, and before even time began, my life was in his hand.
All stand. Amen. Always keep a song in your heart. As Sister Zana tonight sings, she's not here with the kids. So found Rachel, and it was a surprise. She got with Monica just like that. Amen. Yeah. You go to another church, you might be called upon to sing too. So you need to keep a song in your heart always. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart. What you going to change over the service? Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power.
Into his word. I want to speak, take a little topic from Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 15. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there or you can look up on the screen here. And we'll just speak on the topic something tonight. Just the Lord laid on my heart. Believe something will happen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together around your word. And I pray, God, as we peer into your promises, Lord Jesus, that you'll quicken them to us, Lord. Lord, that you'll build our faith, Lord God, and edify us tonight, Lord. And Lord, we know, Lord, that we're such a needy people, Lord God, and we have many different needs, Lord, and sicknesses and ailments and problems in our mind and problems in our bodies, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll just speak exactly what we have to need, what we have need of tonight, Lord God. Lord, to just build our faith up to where we can believe that something will happen. Amen. We ask that you'll grant it in your name. Amen. So Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still thou upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal." You may be seated. The Lord has blessing to the reading of the word. Now, just to kind of set the stage, I'm going to talk about somebody. And the one I'm going to talk about is this man. I got to looking at what he believes, and some of y'all have listened to him online and read what he and kind of talked about, just listened to what he has to say. And he's this preacher out on the West Coast called John MacArthur. And he believes it. I wanted to really, he said some things about miracles and how God just don't really work the way that he used to. And so I really wanted to dive in and see a little bit more about what he really believed. And come to find out what he's gotten to do is he's looked at all the hypocrites and all the fakers and all of the things. He's looked at the ones that said, "Look at my little piece of toast, that there's it's the face of Jesus, and this signifies that I'm something special." And look at the one he's looked at, the ones that all these different ones that say dramatic things, and he's began to, like so many today, even maybe even today in the message, began to associate something happening with a hypocrite. Now, Brother John MacArthur, he made a statement. He said God had a special purpose for the eras of Revelation back there, you know, the days of Paul and the days of the apostles. But now he's got a different purpose now, just as powerful, just as wonderful. So he's saying, in other words, now we're just about understanding. As long as we understand, then God's not going to manifest himself so much in miracles and things the way he did with the early church. In other words, he's packaging it up with, if we could say it another way, that the days of miracles is past, that you're not going to see God move in the way that you did with the early church. Because what's he doing? He's associating miracles with hypocrites. Now, maybe let's bring it on down. You ask the question, are we doing the very same thing? Because, you know, sometimes we've all read the message, Anointed Ones at the End Time, and we know the things that Brother Branham said about that, but then we can maybe almost in our mind begin to associate God actually doing anything, because we've seen so many hypocrites and we've seen so many fakers and we've seen so many say, I mean, come on now, let's look back in your own life, all the ones that you've heard say, well, I had a dream and that shows me that I should do such and such a thing, but yet they won't even come to church. And I've saw a vision or I've saw something, but yet they're not matching up with the word, and you know they're not living right. And we've seen so much fake, but you know there really is a genuine. And this message came to actually loose to us the supernatural. Something, if you believe, something's going to happen. And when that something happens, don't look at something happening. It's when somebody comes up to you and tells you a testimony of God actually doing something in their life and changing a situation in their family. Don't look at it with critical eyes. But I believe that God wants us now in this hour to begin to realize that miracles do happen. That God is a God of miracles. God is a God of miracles. A miracle that God can change your life. Do you realize that's a miracle, that God can change your life? It's a miracle that God can come down and move in a people and worship and change their worship to where they're not all starched and stiff anymore, but to where God is actually moving in their lives. It's a miracle that God can take a young person that's got a nicotine addiction
and take away that habit from them in a day, he said, where they don't want nicotine anymore. It's a miracle that God can come down in a service and speak a word. Is it to somebody that begins to, where they catch something and a tumor will fall off? It's a miracle that God can deliver somebody from kidney disease. It's a miracle that God can deliver somebody of a migraine and take that away from them. You see, God is a God of miracles. And if you believe, something's going to happen. You look down through all the Old Testament and all the New Testament, and of all the people that believe, if you go read Hebrews 11, which is what we're about to get to in Sunday school, if you go read every one of those testimonies of faith, when they believed, something happened. They were given a baby, or their health was restored, or their life was restored, or God came on the scene and fought their battles. And that same God that fought their battles is here on the scene to fight your battles at work when your boss don't love you, or your wife don't love you, or husband don't love you, or your kids have turned away from you. That God is still a miracle working God. God is still on the scene to work a miracle. Now you see what John MacArthur doesn't understand today, that the days of miracles is not past. And he's got all caught up looking at the false. But you see, this afternoon, if we'll just get away from looking at the false and looking at one another and wondering why God don't heal that one over there that we're looking at, if we'll just keep our eyes on Jesus and believe, something is going to happen. How many this afternoon wants something to happen in your life? How many wants to see God move in your life? Something will happen. Sometimes we just think that miracles are out of reach. Sometimes we think God has left us, that God has moved away from us, that God ain't here. Sometimes we get cabbage down and we think, well, it's just good enough as long as I know the message. But I don't want to just know the message. I want to live the message. I want to live it so much that others see Christ living in me, to see that God has done something in my life. And Brother Reverend said, that's the way when we come into Christ, if something just seems a little bit high, like miracles, like God actually doing something. Step up in the gospel ranks and find out what belongs to you. I believe tonight, maybe if we can just grasp what belongs to us, that God is still a God of miracles, that he's still Jehovah Jireh, that same God that spoke a ram into existence next to Abraham is still able to speak a miracle in your life tonight. God's got a step ladder that reaches plumb into glory. Jacob saw it one night with angels coming up and down from earth to glory. It's all yours. God's provided it for you. Just get on it tonight and climb right on out of this earthbound people here that says the day of miracles are past. We are not earthbound people. We are heavenbound people, filled with the Holy Ghost, climbing the ladder to glory, going to glory. Everything along the road belongs to us. Everything Jesus died for belongs for us. I'm still looking for paradoxes tonight. I'm still expecting something to happen. How could you not expect something to happen if you can look into God's word and see that everything that Jesus died for you belongs to you? I think that's what Joshua was doing when he spoke. When he spoke and the moon stood still over there and the sun stood still over there, he got a glimpse that everything God had promised belongs to him. He was sitting there in the promised land, going on the way to the promised land, and he knew that all those promises were his. And if we could grasp that tonight, that all these promises laying here in the word are ours, something is going to happen. Brother Brown, if you go look and find how many times that Brother Brown said something happened, he said it 556 times. All of a sudden, something happened and a real cool feeling went through her and she began to cry, the sister in the prayer line. Something happened there in the church one night, he said. God bless you. Something happened then, didn't it? Something happened hasn't it? You're healed, sister, he told her sister. Something happened then when I said that, didn't it? There's something happened here. A new creature was born, he said in another place. And 556 times he said something happened. Why? Because somebody got to believing. Somebody walked through the prayer line and got to believing. Somebody sat in the congregation and got to believing. Somebody began to accept God's word and got to believing. And something happened. And when you believe, something will happen too. Don't be afraid for something to happen. People around the message have got to, they got to thinking that it's good. We just cabbage down and we think we've got it because we understand things. But I got to see it lived in me. Listen, it's not the anointing. It's not the anointing that makes you a hypocrite. We get so scared. We get so spooky of the anointing sometimes. It's like the disciples there on the water when they saw Jesus walking toward them. It's not the anointing that makes you a hypocrite. Are we afraid of being a hypocrite sometimes because the anointing comes? Because God gets to move it in the people. It's the seed that you have received that makes you a hypocrite. You receive either the word of God or the serpent seed. You receive either of those two seeds and hold it in your heart, and that's what makes you a hypocrite. But we need God to move. This gospel was given so that something will happen. It was given so that something would happen. Don't be afraid of something happening. When something happens in the church, don't look at it askance and say, well, I wonder if that's really true. I want something to happen in my life. You know, from the very first gospel sermon that was ever preached there on the day of Pentecost, when Peter come down them steps from the upper room and began to proclaim what had happened, something happened. The very first sermon produced something happened. The Holy Ghost fell on all them that were filled outside. The Holy Ghost fell on them in the house of Cornelius when the word was preached to them. The word didn't just go and land on the ground. It didn't go and just return void. But it actually accomplished something. Something happened when they believed it. And that's what a paradox is. It's a paradox when something incredible without a reasonable explanation happens. That's what a miracle is. A paradox is a miracle when something incredible happens. When a tumor falls off. When your migraine leaves you. I remember one time Brother Harris, years ago, was sitting there in the back of the church and he took communion and something happened and he began to run through the church because his back was healed. How many of you could remember all the things in your life where you saw something happen because you believed, because somebody believed? When something, it seems incredible, yet it's true. That's what a paradox is, a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense and yet is perhaps true. It's a paradox that God can take away a nicotine addiction. It's a paradox that somebody can, that God can deliver a young man from wanting to smoke marijuana every day and every night. That God can deliver somebody from being lazy bones and not wanting to go to work. That God can change your character to where you didn't want to go to church, but now all you can do is read the Bible, that you can't tear yourself away from it. Somebody that couldn't take the time to read a long book, but now you want to read all the message books you can. And that's a paradox. It's incredible when the chains come off. It's incredible when you're delivered. It's incredible when you see somebody that's been in chains of pornography that they can't get away from it. They don't know what to do. And when God delivers them, it's a paradox. It's a paradox when freedom comes. It's a paradox when freedom comes to your home. It's a paradox when he comes and visits you by your bed at night and all the despair is taken away. It's a miracle when you can worship God the way God intended you to do. And Brother Man would say a paradox then would be the same as a miracle. A paradox of when something that seems like it just couldn't be. The knowledge of the human mind is altogether incredible, but yet it's proven true. A miracle would be the same thing, for a miracle cannot be explained. A miracle is something that happens and you cannot explain it. That makes it a paradox. It's incredible, but yet it's the truth. And I believe this afternoon we believe we serve a miracle working God. Let's elevate our faith. Let's climb up that ladder to the thing that seems like it's impossible, because we serve a God that's going to change our bodies. And how can you have faith for a body change if you can barely believe for a toothache? God wants you to elevate your faith. Come up a little bit higher until you can believe that all things are possible to them that believe. God is able to heal you if you've been sitting on that sickness for 6 months or 6 years. It don't matter to God. God is still a miracle working God. You know how I can believe that he's a miracle working God? Because I'm a miracle. Every born again believer in here is a miracle. It's a miracle that God plucked you out of the wayside and changed your heart and changed your life. And if you're not born again this afternoon, God can make you a miracle too, because he's still a miracle working God. All you got to do is just sit there and open up your heart to him. Just crack that door open a little bit. Let him come in. Let him come in and believe, and he'll begin to change you. He'll come in and tabernacle himself and make a a miracle out of you so that everybody will look at you and say, something's happened to that person. Something is past my understanding, past my intellectual understanding. I don't understand how that person that used to cuss and swear and live with the world and love the things of the world now has been changed. Something's happened to him. Brother Branham said, I believe that every born-again member of the body of Christ is a paradox in themselves. I believe each one of you Methodist and Presbyterian and Lutheran that never had experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit was in some formal church that did not believe in the genuine new birth and has now received the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a perfect example of a paradox. Because something happened to you. Something happened to you. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many in here can say, I remember when something happened. I remember when the Holy Ghost came into my life, and it wasn't just something in my mind, but it was something that changed my heart and quickened the word that I held in my heart to me. Something happened to you that changed your whole being, and anyone could look at that and know what a paradox is. A miracle. Something happened. Something happened when Jesus was standing outside of Lazarus' grave and he spoke and Lazarus came forth. Something happened when Peter walked on the water to Jesus. Peter wasn't just looking and saying, well, I'm fine sitting here in the boat. But he wanted something to happen and he stood up and he got out of the boat when nobody else would. Something happened on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a miracle that the Holy Ghost didn't take a sinner and change him. Something happened. Something happens when you take God at his word and believes. If you believe, something is going to happen. I want to challenge you tonight to take God at his word and see if something won't happen. Take him at his word. Take him at his promises and say, if you can clothe a sparrow, if you can clothe a lily, I know that you're going to put money in my bank account. I know that you're going to provide for me. If I don't have a dime, you're going to take care of me because you can take care of the lily and you take care of the trees and you take care of the earth. You can take care of your bride. How many? Oh, can't we look into the confidence of God, into God's word with that kind of confidence and know that he's there for you, to know what access you have, access to the promises. It's a miracle how that God can take a man's thinking, Brother Branham said, and his ways and his life and everything and change it from what it was to what it can be, what he can make it, to what it can be, what he can make it. Oh, you think about to what it can be. Not probably every born again Christian in here is your confession would probably be, I ain't where I want to be. Oh, but think what God wants you to be, what it can be, what your life can be. And there's a miracle working God that's still on the scene to make your life what it can be. Wherever you are in life, if you're living in sin, if you're bound in chains of this world, oh, think what God wants your life to be. That he wants to make you a miracle. He wants to make you a miracle out of you. But you would have to agree. Brother Brown said it's a miracle that God can take someone from the world and change them to be like him. And what changed you was not just an intellectual conception. It was a power to change your life. Oh, can't you just look at your own background and think. Sometimes we think maybe the devil will come and maybe give us thoughts where you understand these things because it's all in your mind and you act this. You're like this way just because it's something natural. No, it's supernatural. Something supernatural taking place. Oh, you couldn't understand the things that others probe at. You couldn't understand these things unless something supernatural had happened. You couldn't live this Christian life unless something supernatural had taken place in you. There's a miracle working God that's doing something. Brother Bram told that story of the young German man who was that little boy who was dishonest. And he was so dishonest, he just couldn't apologize. And he'd worked himself up in his intellectuals to try to act like it and try to fake it. And Brother Brown said there was a fine young man, very fine boy. He was going with a little girl, a very fine little girl out of a fine family. And this boy all of a sudden came up with some kind of an idea and he just walked away. He did something wrong to the little girl and much as promised her to do a certain thing and then didn't do it. And instead of coming to the girl and apologizing like a gentleman should do, he, it just wasn't in him to do it. He wasn't equipped. His character hadn't been changed. Oh, you see what a supernatural thing it is for you to be able to apologize, for you to be able to love somebody enough where you can go over to them and say, I'm sorry, instead of just holding it up and say, I don't care. I'm spinning around in your mind until you're the right one. It's a supernatural thing to be able to love one another. It's a supernatural thing to be able to lay down your life, to love somebody else the same way that you love yourself, to bear with one another, to look at somebody else through God's eyes. And this young man wasn't equipped. Brother Brown said the boy was a Christian as far as a believer. He had repented and been baptized and had his position among the believers, but yet had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No matter how much he thought he had. I think maybe we could just dwell on that a second, that, you know, the Holy Ghost is going to change you. It's going to do something. It's gonna produce an effect in your life. And we can sit in church and act like it all, act like we're changed. But if God hadn't really done a supernatural work in your life, you'll never be able to act the way a real, true, genuine Christian acts. Because you won't be able to love, and you won't be able to forgive, and you won't be able to bear with one another, and you won't be able to repent the way that a Christian can. You won't be able to kneel beside your bed and say, forgive me of all those wrongs that I've done. And you won't be able to do it because it's a supernatural miracle in the life of a born-again believer, where God has actually wrought a change in your life when you're born again. You see, if you're just going at home and if you got a Tinder account, you ain't born again. If you don't know what a Tinder account is, then just chalk it up to grace. If you got a Tinder account and you're going around from house to house, you ain't born again. If you'd rather be at the pool hall, the honky tonk, or down at the racetrack instead of church, you ain't born again. If you love that worldly music beat, you're sitting in Walmart and you say, "Well, I'd like to go. I think I'm going to go sit in the car and listen to that a little bit longer." You ain't born again. Country music, rock music, songs about adultery—that don't have no place in a Christian's life. Why? Because a Christian is going to be changed. Christian is going to be a changed being. Oh, I wish we could get away from that idea that the new birth is just some private thing that you just get alone and you say, well, I know I'm born again and I'm just going to keep this to myself. No, listen, when you're born again, you go into that holy of holies, you're coming out. And what are you coming out to do? You're coming out to share it with the rest of the church and the rest of the people that you work with. And you're coming out to share it with the ministers, and everybody's going to know whether you got the Holy Ghost. I think sometimes we kind of shy away from that everybody is going to know whether you got the Holy Ghost. The whole world knows if you're born again. They might not call it born again, but the whole world is going to know whether or not you're born again. You know what, that's what Brother Brown said? He said, you won't have to go around testifying this, that, or the other. If you're a real lover of the Lord, everybody you come in contact with will almost know it. You are written epistles. You're sealed. And a seal is on the backside, the same as on the front side, both going and coming. People know that you're a Christian. You walk different, live different, act different. You are different when you become a Christian. How many could agree tonight that you're different when you become a Christian? You're going to dress different. You're going to put away all them worldly things. You're going to love the Lord. You're going to love reading his word. You're going to act different and do different. But you see, in this case, in this little German kid, his daddy said it was okay. And Brother Brown said the father raised up and said, my son went to the altar. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ and water baptism in the pool, and said, I know my son has come to Christ. You see what he was doing? He was relying on his natural father to tell him whether or not he was born again. God don't want you to rely on your natural anything to tell you whether you're born again. He don't want you to rely on a minister and a prayer line to tell you whether you're born again. He don't want you to rely on your mama and daddy to tell you whether you're born again. You got to hear from your heavenly father to know whether you're born again. Your earthly birth is all messed up, and that earthly voice can't tell you whether you're born again or not, but that heavenly voice is going to tell you. You wait till you hear that voice of the heavenly father to confirm your birth. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, it says that when you come forth with your new birth, you're going to come forth crying, Abba Father. Why? Because you don't recognize your mama where you come from with your natural birth anymore, but now you come forth, the first thing you come forth, you see when you come forth from your spiritual birth is your father. You begin to recognize that you've got a personal relationship with him, and you know where you came from. You know your heavenly Heavenly Father. Oh, if we could just wait to hear from God to speak to us whether or not we're born again, then wait for somebody to go give us the glad hand of fellowship and or give us the attaboy on the back of the back and say, well, I think you got it. No, you need to sit by the bed and pray and cry a little bit and find out whether God has really accepted your faith or not. Find out whether God has really quickened the word that you think that you've held. Brother Branham said, I said, that may be all right. All the outward emotions, he might be identified as a believer with the believers, but until he is regenerated, born again, I'd advise that young man to never marry a woman. Excuse me. He'll make hell on earth for her until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in. Oh, my, to think that without the new birth, marriage would be hell on earth. To think that without a change in your life, marriage would be hell on earth. Without the new birth, you can't forgive. Without the new birth, you can't express right. Oh, that's the path to peace. If you want peace in your home and peace in your marriage, get closer to Christ. You know, we talk about oneness so much, and so many, I think, have gotten confused that if we can just agree with one another, then we'll be one. But no, let's agree with Christ. Right. I want to agree with Christ. If I can get into him, then we'll begin to agree with one another. He's the main thing. Without the new birth, you can't express Christ. Without the new birth, everything just becomes chaos. Right. And that's what Brother Brown said. Then that will be a paradox in itself. To take the very nature of a boy that's bred between father and mother, and yet in his intellectuals, he is trying his best to overcome it. He can't do it. Oh, you see why it's a miracle now? It's a miracle because you can't, in your own self, you can't overcome it. How are you going to get away from that pornography demon? How are you going to get away from adultery and fornication and the lust of flesh and the pride of life? How are you going to get away from that suicidal demon that tries to get you to cut yourself? There's a long list of things that we could unroll. How are you going to get away from that? The only way you're going to get away from it, it's got to be a supernatural work. It's got to be a miracle. That's what I believe. I believe in a miracle working God. And if you need a miracle tonight, there's a God that's ready to give you your miracle. If you need freedom tonight, there's a God that's ready to step on the scene for you right now and give it to you. He said he'll never overcome it. Christ will have to overcome it. When he lets Christ in, then he's already overcome then. It'll be a perfect paradox when a man is born of the Spirit of God. It takes the miracle of life to overcome your earthly genes. You know, that's what the new birth is doing. It's actually changing your character. It's correcting your earthly birth. It's correcting it. Everything that's wrong with your earthly birth is correcting it. It's correcting that temper. It's correcting that lack of patience. It's correcting all those things, all the way, the things that you didn't act right, the way that you couldn't treat somebody right. It's correcting that and changing it. And it's a paradox that God can take your old carnal, horrible nature and change it to be like him. That God can make a stubborn person understanding. Somebody that cabbages down and say, well, I ain't going to listen to nothing that preacher tells me. I ain't going to listen to that. I don't care whether it's truth or not. I ain't going to listen. Like Cain almost. That God could take somebody like that and make them understanding and make them patient and loving. That God could take a quick-tempered person and make them patient and kind. Somebody that's got a temper like a bug saw. God can make an evil-hearted man, somebody like that man that was ready to kill that little doe in front of Brother Branham, and make him loving and sweet-natured. Oh, tell me that ain't a miracle. That's a miracle that God can do that. And I'm looking at a lot of miracles sitting here tonight. That God can bring an unapologetic heart up to the altar. That God can make a hard-hearted man come to a place where they apologize and repent. You know that's a miracle. Somebody with an old, cold, stony heart that don't want to listen to nothing about the gospel. And the gospel can soften it up to where you see tears falling down their face and hands lifted up, ready to receive his word. That God can make a hard-hearted woman come up to the altar. Oh, we need the new birth. We need a miracle. We need a paradox in our life. God is a God of paradoxes. Oh, the new birth is your foundation. It's everything to a believer. It's the foundation of your Christian walk. It's the foundation of your life. It'll be the foundation of your marriage. And that's why Brother Branham told George Smith, you can get engaged to her, to Rebecca, but you need to get born again before you get married. Why? Because you need a character change. If you want to have a successful marriage, if you want to have a successful anything, you need a character change. You need a miracle in your life. It takes God to bring a miracle. But we've got a God that can change things. Oh, come on now. Let me meddle a little bit. Now, listen. Listen, if the Holy Ghost changes your character, your earthly character, to heavenly, if it corrects it, if it's correcting all that, and see, what good are all these horoscopes and things? What good are all these astrology things? Because at best, a horoscope is looking to your natural lineage. At best, you look up in the sky and say, well, I got my temperament or whatever from my mom and daddy because I was born on this certain day or whatever, because it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I was born or whatever it was. And you look up and you can see, maybe you can chart. Maybe if there is any value in a horoscope, it'll tell you some insight into your natural birth. But I ain't concerned with my natural birth. I want to look up to the heaven. You know, Brother Branham said in the stars, every person in the Bible was written in the stars, but not the way a horoscope's written, because the stars tell you the whole journey of redemption, from Christ coming to Virgo to the Virgin, all the way to the Aquarius, the water bearer. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, all the way to his return at Leo the Lion. And if you can identify yourself in that star, yeah. And those stars, that's where I want to be identified in. I want to be identified in a changed life, not my carnal history, not where I came from in my earthly journey, but I want to be identified in Christ. Brother Brown said, I've seen critics stand off and make fun and carry on of a Holy Ghost revival. And after a while, God get a hold of that same man and change him. Amen. And here he stands right in the pulpit preaching the same thing that he once hated. It's a paradox how that God can take the unbeliever and make a believer out of you. Something happened to you that changed your whole being. And anyone could look at that and know what a paradox is. A miracle. Oh, you think about that. That anyone could look at your life and know that that's got to be a miracle. Oh, we could go around the room and tell all the testimonies about where you came from and the places that the devil got us from in life. And surely, you know, look, doesn't that build your faith to know that you can't be in the place that you're in right now if God hadn't wrought a miracle in your life? And if he's able to do all that, think about where he's able to take you from here. If he's able to take you from there to here, surely he's able to take you from here to a body change. If we believe him, because if you believe, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Brother Branham said, if God ever gets a hold of an individual, there's something that will control their emotions to the word. Something that will cause them to humble themselves to the word. It's a miracle to see your son or daughter of God surrendered to the word and changed by the word. Everything, the word holds everything together. The word is what holds your life together. The word is what holds the cosmos together. You see what I'm building up to? Because the cosmos, all the stars and the planets were standing there, and it was held together by the word. And Joshua took a step back and said, I believe God's word. And if God's word is able to hold it together, God's word is able to move it. God's word is able to keep it still. God's word is able to control it. This is a paradox that the word holds everything together. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. The worlds were framed by a miracle. Brother Brown said, how it stands in space. So much we could say to that, take hours upon it. But we find out here that Joshua stopping the sun now. That's a paradox. It's a paradox, but God did it anyhow. What? By a man, not a God, not some great angel coming down from heaven. A man with faith in the mission that he was given to take that land. The word of God was behind it. I give you this land, and everywhere the soles of your foot shall set upon, that I give you. It's yours. Footsteps meant possession. Now, that's a great story for Joshua now, but you can have that same power in your life. If you look into God's word and say, that God, I know God has given me this land. I know God has promised me my children. I know God has promised me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know that God has promised me adoption because this is the season for adoption. This is a season for somebody to come to a capstone revelation. This is the season for it. And I know God has promised. Come on now, let's look into the word and accept your promises. Accept your benefits. Whatever the word says you can have it if you believe it. Because God is the God of miracles, and He wants you to ask for difficult things. Don't you remember that quote where Brother Man said, God don't want you to ask for simple things. He wants you to ask for hard things. He wants you to ask to help you with that car payment that you're struggling with. He wants you to ask to grow up the stature of a perfect man. He wants to ask you, for you to ask him to take away all that stuff that you've been struggling with. The achievement he was trying to do, Brother Ram said, see, his enemy was routed, and he knew if the sun ever set, them kings would get together and they'd come back upon him with double forces. So the sun was going down, and Joshua, a man commanded to do this, said, son, stand still. Why? Because he was looking at the enemy. And he said, I know that God wants me to defeat this enemy, and his word has promised this. We're going to the promised land. Aren't you going to the promised land sitting here tonight? You're on your way to the promised land. So don't let any devil stand in your way. Any devil get in your way and tell you you can't overcome, that it ain't for you. Cast down reasons. Cast down imaginations. Cast down every vain thought. Cast down everything that the devil throws at you. Brother Ram said, whatever God did, I don't know, but the sun stood still, the moon over Ajalon, because a human being was in the line of duty. How are you going to be in the line of duty this afternoon? You get in the word, because the word is his will, and the word shows you what God wants done. And if you know what God wants done, if you know that his promises are to you and that you've got access to it, that something is bound to change because you're in the line of duty just like Joshua was. You begin to speak the word just like Joshua did, because you know what the word says. You begin to speak it. You begin to speak it beside your bed at night. You begin to speak it behind the steering wheel in your car as you drive to work. You begin to speak it in the morning when you rise up, when the sun's coming up behind the hill, but over the hill, because you know what God wants done. Come on now, it's adoption time. God wants children of God that know what he wants done with the word. How many needs a change this afternoon? How many wants a miracle? God is looking for somebody that he can use like Joshua. He's looking for somebody that'll get in the line of duty. And Joshua knew he was in the line of duty. He had a reason. And Brother Ram said, of course, you got to have a reason for it. You can't have faith unless you got some kind of reason. As I tried to say last night, some people's faith is in their textbook. Some people's faith is in something else, but depends on what your faith is. Sometimes we doubt the reason that God's given. We look in the Bible and we read that we've got a benefit package, and we think, well, I don't know if God's going to forgive my iniquity. I don't know if he loves me enough to heal all my diseases. But it's laying there in the word. If you can just believe it. If you can just believe it, then the God of miracles will come upon the scene and do something. Something is going to happen. His will shows the reason. Brother Bram said, I want to believe God's word. What he says is true. Then I've got to see whether it's his will or not. Despite all the other influences, despite what my eyes can see, I want to see what his will says about it. And his will is his word. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said to pray like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And we've got his will. We've got his will, because his will is his word. In Psalm chapter 33, it says, the counsel of the Lord, his word standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So if you'll just stay with his will, something's going to happen. Sometimes it's kind of hard to stay with his will. Like that prophet there in the Bible that God told him to go over here and speak a word. I think it was the prophecy about Josiah in the Bible there. And he told him, don't you turn to the right or to the left. You just keep on going. And God tested him a little bit. He told another prophet to go tell him, turn aside. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. See, you don't deviate to the left or the right. You stay right with God's word. And sometimes that's a hard lesson for us to learn.
that you got to ignore all the other influences in your life, but you have to look straight to God's word. I was talking to somebody recently about, you know, when I started preaching, you know, you'd hear this one preacher over here say, I can't preach unless I'm nervous. When I stop being nervous, then I'm going to stop preaching. And then you hear this other preacher over here say, well, I never get nervous. And so that's the way you got to do. If you get nervous, you can't preach. And so now you got those two opposing things. So which is right? Well, listen, you got to have your own experience. You got to find out what works. You look into the word for your own self, and you have your own experience, because you can't rely on anybody else's experience. Listen, when your friend says it ain't worth it, you just keep your eye right on the word. When your family says you can't be healed, and everybody that you know says it ain't going to work for you, you keep your eyes right on the word of God. Oh, when a minister says you can't be saved, maybe because of some circumstantial thing that they think that binds you from being saved, maybe because your mother and father weren't married when you were born. Or whatever, all this nonsense that's going around. When a minister says you can't be saved, you cast that aside and you look straight to God's word. Oh, when the internet says it can't be true, you cast it aside and you just stay straight with God's word. I was reading one of them articles the other day, just because I kind of like doing that as a pastime, just to see it, so I know what they're saying. I'm not afraid. I wouldn't encourage everybody to do that. But listen, my point. I was reading one of them things where they were telling a story about Brother Branham, and I was reading it, and they were just casting him in a terrible light. And I don't remember all the details of the thing right now at this particular moment, but I went and I started to research it for myself, and everything that they said was lies. Everything they said that Brother Branham said that he had said that Hattie Wright's little girl that was in that wheelchair, that Brother Ram spoke healing in her, and she died in that wheelchair. But you go back and see what Brother Ram said. He said, if the Lord told me to say it, if the Lord told me to say it, I would speak it. But he never spoke healing over her. And if he would have, she'd have come out of that wheelchair. But he never did it the way that they said. See, they're telling lies. You got to go. That's why we need the fivefold ministry, because a fivefold ministry will search that stuff out and study it and make it easier on you. Make it easy so you don't get fooled by all this nonsense. And somebody is, a lot of people just get fooled because they're not capable of studying or whatever you want to say. But there's a fivefold ministry that'll study it out for you. Go ask somebody if you're getting swayed by all this nonsense that people say, because it's lies. Amen. It's a bunch of lies. Amen. It's lies about the bridge. That's why I don't even like saying, well, if you could tell me that Brother Branham did do something wrong, I'm still going to believe, because Brother Branham didn't do those things that he said that they did. He didn't go sleeping around. He said the right thing about how many fell off those bridges. Everything that he said was correct. Everything that he said was correct. You can't. If you would just keep your eyes on Christ, keep your eyes on his word, keep your eyes on his will, and don't look at nobody else. Keep your eyes straight on him. And Brother Brown said in the message, perseverance, you must first find the will of God before you can do the will of God. You must first know what his will is in the matter, and then don't turn it loose. And the token, he said, he cannot go contrary to that word. He has already purchased your desire if it's according to his will. And his will is to heal. His will is to give you your desire. His will is to work a miracle in your life. His will is to change you, to make you like him. Then if his will, I got to check out my objective to it, and then my motive in doing it. If I do it, Brother Brown said, because I say, well, I'm going over the mountain here. There's a mountain before me. There's a million people on that side perishing. I got 100 million over here I'm preaching to. Well, if I can't get over, around, or under the mountain, or nothing, and yet something in my heart keep telling me, go over the mountain, go to them, and can't get over it. Now, Jesus said, they shall move this mountain. Oh, you see, if you got the right motive, if you're asking for the right thing, and not because you want to get rich, not because you want people to pay you money, not because of popularity. Brother Ram said, what if I say, no, I don't care about the money, but when I get over there someday, the ages to come, they'll put up a great big monument, say, Brother Branham, the great missionary, and still my motive is not right. Oh, popularity is what gets so many to the side. I won't preach against sin, so I'll get more likes. I won't preach against sin, so I'll get more attaboys. What does it matter how many views we get on the internet? What does it matter how many messages we get about how good we preached? Oh, you got to put the good and the bad up on a little shelf. Don't let the things say that people say about you have nothing to do with your what people say has nothing to do with whether you're successful or not. You know how you'll know you're a success on the when you go beyond the curtain of time and Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When you hear "Well done and thou good," and that's what I want to hear. We're not preaching for attaboys. We're not trying to get likes and all those things. But Brother Brown said, when I don't care if they ever know he went over there, he's just in my heart, then I'll speak to that mountain. It'll happen. See, it's got to. See, your motive and your objective depends on who you are and what business. That's where the church misses it so far. They get worked up in an emotion, and first thing you know, an enthusiasm. You don't stop to check it back here again. Check there for sure. Then it's thus saith the Lord. If you got the right reason, the right objective, and you know you're in the will of God, something is bound to happen. Something's going to happen. Oh, you think about that tonight when you go home. If you got a right reason for what you're praying for, if you're praying for your kids to do well in school, you got a right reason. If you're praying for the right objective, if you're praying for a good, godly spouse, a good, godly husband that'll be ahead over your family, a good, godly wife that'll raise your children right, that mountain's going to move. God's got to do something. Moses had a commission to bring those people out of Egypt. Joshua had a commission to go over and take that land. And God caused a great paradox. And you got a commission. You know what a commission is? A commission is constitutes documentary authority that the person named is vested with the powers of that office and is empowered to execute official acts. Like an officer in the army gets a commission. You can go and you're fighting and making decisions on behalf of the country that you live in. And if you've got a commission, what is your commission? Our commission as ministers is go into all the world and preach the gospel and cast out devils, and signs and wonders are going to follow. That's our commission. That you preach the word, it's going to have an effect. And you've got a commission. Your commission is, it's written, to go speak and go forward. Your commission is all these things laying here in the Bible. The trouble of it is today, Brother Ram said, the churches speak, look like, say, what did Moody say? What did Sankey say? But what did God say? Speak and say what God said. Let's go forward, not look back, but go this way. And it was a paradox when Noah preached the word to a scientific age. And Noah had a commission. What was his commission? Destruction is coming. Get in the ark. Oh, you see what a paradox that was when Noah began to preach, and he preached and he preached until finally rain came, and they didn't know where the rain came. Noah preached to an intellectual world like we're preaching to now. Noah preached to a world that would sit there and say, well, I don't believe that God is able to do it. A world that was so intellectual in their conception that they failed to believe that God was still a God of miracles. Amen. Noah preached it to a day when they were farther advanced in science than we are now. You think about a day where they could build the Great Pyramid and move those great blocks and had all those great scientific advancements. And Noah was preaching in that day where nobody wanted to listen to him. Preaching about something that they could prove by their science. They could look up and say, well, there ain't no rain in the heavens. Say it like this. There ain't no going to be no body change. How's God going to change your body? How's God going to perform a change? Oh, you see what God's building us up to? If God can change us from there to the here, God is going to change us from here to there. God is going to change because God is a God of miracles. You see, it's time to get in the ark. And what is the ark? The ark is this message that we've heard, a message that's going to transform us from that old world, that old carnal world, into a new world, a new place, a new situation where we step out into a body change. Y'all, they got in that ark and they went from point A to point B, all right. They saw the water come and wash away all their troubles, wash away all that carnality, wash away all those people that didn't believe, and wash away all those people living in sin and mocking. And but they were screaming on the doors when God shut the door. Thank God. You see, thank God for a message of grace. A message of grace that we've heard. It was a message of grace that Noah was preaching to come get in the ark. Destruction is coming. Get in the ark. And it's a message of grace that we've heard.
If we hadn't received this message from God, you think about it, like the Bible says, we'd be blind leading the blind. It was the blind leading the blind until we heard this message that God has given to us. We wouldn't have known what to do. We wouldn't have known how many gods there were. If God was in three people or one, we wouldn't have known. We wouldn't have any how to be baptized, how to dress, how to be healed, how to receive the new birth. We would have been like the blind leading the blind, but we've heard a message of grace. You see why we're not lifting up men, we're not lifting up a man, but we're lifting up a message to say thank God for the grace of God to come down in our lives. Noah was the only one to have the word in that day. Noah only had the word of the Lord in the face of all of their science in that day. Noah was the only one in that day to have the word against all their instruments. Noah had a revelation of the will of God. And you think about who's got the word in this day. There's only one place, one ark, one door you can go through, one place that you can hear the message of grace to get in that ark. Oh, think about a miracle. You talk about a miracle that you're sitting here. How many people have you tried to witness to and just talked about things just at a basic level and they just can't see it? But you heard it and you believed it and you're sitting here. It's a miracle that you're sitting here. It was a miracle that eight people were in that ark with all the millions sitting outside. It was a miracle that the door shut on, and Noah didn't know how to shut that door. He built that door, and I can imagine him looking up at that door. It's too big. I don't have the instruments to shut this thing. I can't lever it into place. I don't know. And he went to sleep one night and woke up the next morning, and God had shut that door, and it was a miracle. And everything in Noah's life was a miracle. When the rain fell on the day that it fell, it was a miracle. After all, maybe his family sitting up there began to doubt and everything, wondering if the message was really true. And the rain began to fall, and they began to hear the thunderclaps and the screams on the outside as people began to beat on that ark. And it was a miracle. It's a miracle as that ark carried them around the earth and the door opened on the other side of the globe or wherever they were on Mount Ararat. And out they came into a new world. And all because that Noah had a revelation of the will of God. He knew it was going to rain. Oh, you think about the place you're sitting in right now. He knew destruction was coming. He knew the way of escape. And he knew he was going to build an ark. He had his commission. Oh, you see, now you got your commission. Your commission to build. Your commission. You know the way of escape. You know the capstone's got to come. You know the only way out is this message. We know the destruction's coming because that's what Malachi 4:5-6 says, that there's got to come Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There's got to come. You say, well, I wonder if this message is true. Then tell me what that scripture means. Tell me what Revelation 10 means if it matters to you. Tell me what Luke 17:30 means if it matters to you. They never had rain, but Noah said it's going to rain. The water was on the earth, not in the skies. They could take an instrument and prove there was no water there. But Noah said, it's going to happen anyhow. See, and it rained. See, it don't matter how many aches and pains there are in your body, if your knees are popping. One of my daughters told me the other day, Dad, I can tell when you're coming up the stairs because I hear your knee pop. But see, that don't matter. That don't matter because it's going to happen anyhow. Our bodies are going to be changed. There's a God of miracles. If God has brought us from there to here, God is able to change our bodies. He said that was a paradox, something that could not be explained, but God shook the earth around just in condition so it would rain. So you see, it was a paradox for God, for Noah to do that. Oh, you see why we've got to believe in miracles. We've got to believe in a miracle working God. Oh, don't just come to church and just cabbage down and say, well, I'm sitting here warming the seat and fail to see that God is still a miracle working God. I think we should come to church expecting to see miracles. We should come to church expecting to see God move. That should be our expectation. Why? Because you're a paradox. And if you're a paradox, then surely you can believe in paradoxes because God has changed you. He's worked a miracle in your life. And surely you can expect more miracles. Surely you can expect signs and wonders if you yourself are a sign and a wonder. And God did it that way because he was going to do it again in the last days. God worked all those things out in Noah's life. The preaching of the message, come and get in the ark, the door shut, and all those things because he was going to do the same thing again in the last days. As the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, getting married and getting divorced, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They're still carrying on their lives. It looked like everything was going on normal. And it's going, everything looks like, you look outside and people don't know anything about what I'm talking about right now. Just like they did in Noah's day. And ignore the gospel truth. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. God would send a message in the midst of a scientific age of disbelief. A message what? To catch us away, just like that message in Noah's day caught them away. A message of a miracle working message. Amen. To catch 8 people away. And as it was in that day, so shall it be in this day. Amen. When the coming of the Son of Man. It's a secret catching away in that day, and it's going to be a secret catching away in this day. The most evil scientific age. Oh, don't look for nothing else to happen. Oh, you've already been purged. You've already been washed. You've already been cleansed. You've already been filled. You've already been made ready. And let me say it like this. The word is sufficient. You don't need nothing else to happen to you to cleanse you out. You don't need anything else to make you ready. The word is sufficient for you. The word is sufficient for the bride. The word is everything that the bride needs to make herself ready. Oh, isn't that what was revealed in the 5th and 6th seals? That the word has washed you and made you clean. The word has purified you. The word has cleansed you. And that's all you need to be made ready is the word. The word is everything that you had need of, just like it was in Noah's day. And Noah couldn't prove by their intellect what he was saying. They couldn't prove by their intellect. Well, all he had to do, all he had was the word. And he based everything on the word when he said, get in the ark. He preached a message to get into the ark. Why did he preach that message? Because he knew there was going to be somebody to get in. You think about that, that this message was sent because God knew somebody was going to get in the ark. I think I'm looking at it. I'm sitting here tonight. God knew somebody was going to receive it. Oh, aren't you glad tonight for a miracle-working God that sent a miracle message to work a miracle in your life to save you and call you and move you into that ark? Where would you be if this message hadn't come? Where would you be sitting right now? You ever thought about that? What would you be doing right now? Maybe you'd be sitting in front of your TV at home watching some movie that ain't going to do nothing but corrupt your mind, watching some newscast that just goes around and around. Every day it's the same old thing, more bad things to just pollute your mind. But we're sitting here listening, feasting on the words of life. Oh, to think of His grace. To think of God's grace. Oh, and in that day, people didn't want to get into the ark. They didn't want to get in the ark because they didn't like Noah. And the same day, people don't want to get in the ark because they've heard all this hypocritical stuff, all this lies about Brother Branham. And maybe tonight you've heard a bunch of lies about the ministers in this church. Maybe tonight that's what's keeping you from getting in the ark, because you don't like the way that the gospel has been presented. I'm sure it was the same way in Noah's day, that they got so upset at the way that Noah's hair was matted, or the way that his hairstyle was, or the way that he wore his clothes, or something was off-putting to them, and they ignored his message, ignored the gospel, and said, I won't get in the ark because I don't want to be subject to that man. I don't want to listen to him. It's the same way today. People look at the flesh instead of listening to the gospel. People today say, well, what a weird group up there that believe you have to believe a man to be saved. What a weird group to believe that you got to believe a man. And meanwhile, the whole rest of the world is believing their men. The Presbyterians got a man sitting over their denomination and they're believing what he says. The Catholics believe their Pope. The Methodists believe their guy. Everybody's got a guy that they listen to. The Democrats have their guy, and the Republicans have their guy, and the Libertarians have their guy, and everybody's listening to their guy. And then they're pointing at us and saying, well, you're listening to the word of truth, so I don't want to believe it. And failing to enter the ark. Oh, if we could just lay down our pride and lay down our egos and just listen, if we could just open up our ears and listen to the truth, we'd climb up into that ark gladly. Because you're going to have to, the only way to go in this rapture is to get in the ark, the ark of this message. You are not going in the rapture if you don't get into this message. This message is the only way that you're going in the rapture. It's the only way out of here. It's the only ticket to that other world. Like that Noah's message was the only ticket in his day to that other world where the ark took him. You believe Noah or you didn't get on the ark. You either believe Noah or you don't get on. And when the door was shut by God, it was too late. You think about who would want to be outside of the ark when the rains began to fall, when the water began to rise and the people began to realize that I should have just ignored my superstition about Noah. I should have ignored all my ego. I should have ignored all that and just got on that ark, and then I would have been safe now. Who would want to be here when the bombs begin to fall? You see why we preach so hard? We preach so hard because we don't want to see anybody here when the bombs begin to fall. Oh, have you ever read those stories about when the bombs fell in Japan? What happened? There was this group of people that the bombs fell and their faces were actually melted off until they had no eyes left. All they had was a gaping hole in their face where their mouth began to open and open. And they went around, their skin melted, and went around like crabs through the street. And people saw horrible sights when the bombs fell. And you think this when the bombs fall, when Russia begins to bomb and the bombs fall all around the world, that it's going to be any different than that little peanut situation of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Oh, if you're sitting here tonight, I'm going to go ahead and do like a good Baptist and hang you over hell. Because, listen, it's time to get scared. It's time to do something. Do something. You don't want to go through the things that are coming on the face of the earth. You think about in Noah's day how it was easier to get animals onto that ark than it was to get people. He preached and he preached and he preached, and all God's Spirit had to do was move upon the people, move upon the animals, and here come the giraffes, and here come the elephants, and the clean animals, seven by seven, and the unclean, two by two, and they marched cleanly and nicely and orderly right up there because God's Spirit told them what to do. But you see God's Spirit moving in a congregation and people with their hard hearts, and they won't listen, and they get all upset at the preachers, and they get all upset at all their little pity-patty ideas, and they won't move. You see, it's the same way today as it was back then, where it's easier to get an animal to move away from the wall when a tornado's coming or when a hurricane's coming. It would move easier to get cows to move out in the middle of a field under the leading of the Holy Spirit than to get people to come into the ark. But if they wanted to get in that ark, they had to come by Noah's message. The only way to get in the door was to believe what that man preached. Amen. You see, I can't help. There's a lot of things I can't. There's a lot of things Noah couldn't help. Yep. Noah couldn't help all the scarecrows. Nope. Right. Noah couldn't help. Today, we can't help. I can't help all the websites. That's right. I can't help all the critics. I can't help all the weird carnal stuff that's been done under the guise of this message. There's been a lot of weird stuff. There's been a lot of weird things. A lot of weird things that preachers have said behind the pulpits. And I can't help that. I can't help all those things. I can't help people that ain't living right now. I can't help the hypocrites. I can't help the anointed ones in this age. I can't help the things that are leading people astray. I can't help preachers that misrepresent the gospel. But there was a lot that Noah couldn't help either. But it was the truth anyhow. He preached the truth despite all the things that the devil threw as obstacles in the people's way to get them to disbelieve. And Noah couldn't help in his day, and we can't help today, but we're going to preach the truth anyhow. To think that God foreknew how many people would get on that ark, and how many goats, and how many sheep, and how many elephants, and how many, well, maybe there was dinosaurs. How many dinosaurs would get on the ark? Maybe little ones, maybe big ones. I don't know. How many, but God knew how many would get on that ark. He knew the number of humans that were going to believe that word, and they were ordained to be believers in the generation that they were living in. And God knows sitting here tonight if you're going to get in that ark, listening in on the airways tonight, maybe sitting at home in your living room listening in. God knows if you're going to get in that ark. If you've been ordained to receive it in the age that you're living in, you're going to believe it despite all the scarecrows, despite all the intellectuals, despite all the educated, despite all the naysayers, despite everything, because it makes no difference to a believer, because a believer is a paradox to himself, and a believer is going to believe no matter what the devil throws at him. A believer believes that God is a God of paradoxes. A believer believes, like Brother Andrew Glover said one time, a believer believes in the bad times. A believer believes in the good times. It don't matter, because that's what a believer does. A believer believes. This message is the word, and the word is everything you need to get into the ark.
If you want a way of escape, step into the word of the age that you're living in.
Amen.
Noah preached the word. All Noah had was the word. All Noah needed was the word. And there is where Noah's power was. And there's where your power is. The power to know that you, if you look in that God's word and it says you can have it, that you got the right motive. You got the right motive. You got the right reason. You got the will of God. That you speak the word and something's going to happen. Speak that word. Oh, you see what God has built us up in by this word that's been opened up to us. Precept upon precept, here, little, there, little. Built us up to a place where you should be at a place to speak that word. If you have a need in your life, speak it. If you have a need in your life this afternoon, don't leave without receiving what you have need of, but speak it. Speak it and say, God, I confess that whatever you said, I claim it right now. I claim my healing. I claim deliverance. I claim salvation. I claim my children. You speak that word and you've got the right motive. You've got the right reason. You've got the right will. Something is bound to happen. Why? Because a paradox is speaking a miracle. You're speaking what God has already said. It's a paradox when God goes to working. That's what a paradox is a miracle working God moving. It was a paradox when Israel stood on one side of the hill and Goliath on the other side. It was a paradox when David took God at his word and went and defeated Goliath. It was a paradox when David killed Goliath with a little sling. Because where the word is, the spirit is, and that's where miracles are going to happen. Revelation is a paradox. You think about what a paradox it is to look by faith and ignore all the situation that you're looking at. It's a paradox that the Holy Ghost can open your eyes. And you can read the scriptures that have blinded others, but you can see it clearly. It's a paradox that you can see what others can't. It was a paradox that Paul could see that light, but others couldn't. It was a paradox that Peter knew who he was when others didn't. When Jesus went around that campfire and began to ask him, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And everybody was like, well, this one and that one. But Peter knew who he was. The Holy Ghost at work is a paradox. And life is a paradox. When that little baby was born to Mary, it was a paradox that God could speak life into a mother's womb and she'd be a virgin. It was Joseph couldn't explain that. Mary couldn't explain it. Science couldn't explain it, but it happened anyway.
Amen.
It was a paradox when he gave his life there on the cross, and he gave his life so that he could give his life to us. And that's the greatest paradox. And when God gave his life, you can't separate a man from his life. If you got the life of God, there ain't no separating that. In Romans chapter 8, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing can separate you from that life. And that life of God is a paradox. It's a miracle that God could put his life in you and live in you and walk in you and talk in you. It's a paradox that a man or a woman could yield themselves so much till God could take over, could take them over. Brother Ram said, we Pentecostals, we're taking God too commonly. The whole thing, we just let it pass by. Don't do that. He said, listen, right now in our midst, Jesus Christ is here. That's a paradox, how that he's alive after 2,000 years. Who can explain that? How that he, that spirit unseen, can come among us and take an individual and identify himself exactly, impersonate himself in an individual as you, as a believer, and to a gift. That's a paradox. You are a paradox. And a paradox don't have any trouble believing in a paradox. A paradox, a miracle, don't have any trouble believing in a miracle. You are a miracle tonight as the musicians come. You can believe for the impossible. You can believe for healing. You can believe for a body change despite what science says. When the doctor tells you it ain't possible, like science told them in Noah's day, it ain't possible for rain to fall. You can believe in a miracle. It's a miracle when God brings life. So this afternoon, as we stand to our feet, I've got news for John MacArthur. The days of miracle are not past. The days of miracles are still here. If his presence is here, What does it matter what comes our way? The days our miracles are still here. He is still Jehovah Jireh. Yeah, go ahead. Amen.
I didn't know that I got over there. So God come and took both.
Right. Amen. So, it's a paradox. Amen. Amen. Now see right there, what that ought to do to all of our faith is to elevate it. Oh, if God can do that for them, he can do it for you. If some are receiving a blessing, you can receive a blessing. Whatever you have need of, God is a miracle working God. Oh, you think about when Brother Branham was telling, when he was sitting there in Hattie Rice's home, and he was telling about how that God is still Jehovah Jireh. That he's still that God, that same God that was able to speak a lamb and put a lamb next there for Abraham. That same God was able to speak those squirrels, to put those squirrels where Brother Branham spoke them into existence. And Hattie Wright said over there, she said, that ain't nothing but the truth. And Brother Branham said that a super anointing came in the room. I'll say it like this. When she said that, a greater anointing came in that room than when Brother Branham spoke those squirrels to begin with. All because she said, that ain't nothing but the truth. If you can believe it, you have a paradox. And didn't Hattie Wright get a paradox there when she said, that ain't nothing but the truth? She spoke salvation in her little boy's lives. And she got it. Oh, yeah. I think sometimes we just don't realize what we got access to, and all because God graced us with this message. Oh, we got something worth more than silver and gold, something worth more than all this natural life, worth more than anything this world holds, that to know that the days of miracles are still with us because the God of miracles is with us. Let's sing a song and worship him.
Blessed assurance this evening. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect visions of rain.
at my side, angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior.
Aren't you glad for a message? Aren't you glad for our Noah tonight?
Amen.
Glad for a God that still works miracles. You love the Lord?
Amen.
I think Brother Wade's got some announcements to say, so
let's
I just.
Good job. Man, good stuff. We needed that on Wednesday night, didn't we?
Amen.
Brother John, good to see all you and your family back. Good to see Sister Rebecca. Good to see everybody back. Man, we got everybody back here with us now, so we're good. And that was good. A couple announcements. There will be no Bible study Saturday. Y'all can't hear me.
I can.
Yeah, okay. All right. Can you hear me now? All right, we will have no Bible study Saturday. Sunday, we will have no communion. We're only going to have one service. And then the Sunday school classes need to do their gift giving here. We're going to have regular service Sunday, 9:45. Brother Bob will be doing Sunday school up here, and the rest of you will be doing Sunday school downstairs. And if you got gifts to give out, you need to do that there, because when we go to the venue, we will just have the giveaways of what we give y'all as a church and what the coins and some of that. So everybody clear with that. There'll be no communion that Sunday because of that. All right. Just remember, too, that prayer service will be next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday on the 10th at 7 o'clock. We'll have a prayer service. We'll open up the doors, turn the music on, have prayer, and we're praying for the church, but we're also praying for the meeting coming up at the end of the month, which will be with Brother Wayne Lawson there at the end of the month on Friday night and Saturday night. So remember that. No communion. We'll have communion at the end of the month anyway on New Year's Day. So we love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for all, sure enough, the prayers of everybody that went out to getting everybody back together. So it's always good. I told them Sunday afternoon, there were more people watching online than there was in the building. So that's how many of y'all were gone. But and sick. So we're glad to have all the sick ones back, and we're glad to have all the ones that travel back. But we appreciate Brother Bob. We appreciate the stand. Listen, if you're a Christian, it's a paradox, period. Everything you do is a paradox. Because you just don't think like the world. That's what we've been trying to say. It's just a paradox. You just don't think like the world. And you don't do like the world. And the world looks at you and thinks you're crazy. They probably looked at Noah for 120 years. We think 60 years since the prophet left, they've been looking at us, the bride, and people are, now they're going, and they did the same thing with Noah. Probably at first they thought, yeah, Noah, something different. Rain, we're going to have rain. We're going to help you build this boat. No. Noah only built that ark big enough for 8 people. God knew there'd only be 8, or he would have had to build 50,000 boats because there were 7 billion people in the world at that time. But he knew there was only a certain group of people just like us. There's a certain group of people going to make it, and we just pray that we're the ones. We're just going to do the things that God tells to do. We're going to, our greatest gift of this whole season is that we'll do what the Word of God says. And that we'll do exactly what we've been taught. And man, you know, you think sometimes it's repetition. I was thinking the other day, repetition. But you know what? Repetition, as human beings, you do things, you know. I mean, people are not going to just go out there and play football. They're going to practice. So we've been practicing for 50 or 60 years, some of us. And I think it's about time to play the big game. It's about time to get out of here. It's about and live it, and that's the greatest gift. God came to give us a gift. Now we're going to give one back to him by living what he said. But thank God for all of you. We appreciate you. Like I said, only one service Sunday. Then we'll go to Hidden Acres, and we'll have a catered dinner down there, and then we'll have gift giving after that. And I think we've got it till about 5 o'clock, so we'll just have a time of fellowship. And I think there's going to be a few singings or something Sunday, so we'll have a little bit longer service maybe. I don't think we're going to eat till 1 o'clock. Lisa, when are they coming?
12:30.
They're coming at 12:30?
No, they're coming at 12. So.
Well, we'll do the best we can, okay? Because we got about 3 programs that they're going to do. So we'll do the best we can, but we'll get there in plenty of time. So love you with the love of the Lord, and go with God on the way home. Be safe, and remember one thing. You are a paradox. And that's what God wants, so that's what we're going to be. We're going to be the will of God. We're going to be the paradox, and we're going to be different.
Amen.
We're going to think different.
Yes.
We're going to act different. Yes. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this evening you've given us. Thank you for Brother Bob, Lord, just pouring out his heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would help him and strengthen him, Lord. And as we always know that it's tiresome sometimes as you preach, Lord, and then you got to get up and go to work the next morning. I pray that you'll give him supernatural strength. Give each one of us, Lord, supernatural strength, Lord, as we endeavor to do the best we can, Lord, here on the earth, Father. But we know one thing's for sure. We are chosen. We are elected. And as Brother Ernie always said, to be ejected out of this world. Father, we pray that you'd be with each one. Be with the ones that are still sick. Be with the ones, Lord, that still have the fever and different things and coughs and colds. We pray that you'd just move that demon back, Lord, and we'll have a good time in you, Father. I pray that you'd be with the ones on the highway. Father, bless each one. Take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.